Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Rana Santa Cruz is a Mexican musician and bandleader who lives in Brooklyn. His music is a kind of Mexican bluegrass, Irish mariachi, folk alternativo mashup.
Mi madre fue burócrata, mi padre senador, fui concebido en un armario del Congreso de la Unión. Este no salió bien abusado, va a ser un buen diputado, a lo mejor embajador. Soy un ambidiestro chapulín de vocación, salto como bola de ping-pong. Brinco de la izquierda a la derecha, de la derecha a la izquierda.
Rana Santa Cruz and his band will play the Freshgrass Festival at Mass Mocha this Saturday. Rana, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
You were born and raised in Mexico City. When and how did you begin playing and creating music there?
Well, I started, I think, as a lot of people these days, as a teenager, you know, in high school, I learned to play guitar and I discovered 1980s new age bands like The Cure and The Smiths, and I got totally enamored by music and I just started playing covers. I made a band with some of my friends and we started playing covers at a party, and it was not until then that we started discovering the beauty of, oh, we can actually make our own music. And then I just took it from there.
You moved to Brooklyn in 2002. What caused the move? What made you come to New York?
Well, the official excuse was that I got the opportunity to come and study here. I did a master's in music business. But the real excuse is that I just wanted to come and make music in New York. I had visited the city a couple of times, and I had some friends and family that lived here, and I was just totally blown away by the amount of talent and by the amount of drive from different people, and I kind of wanted to have a little bit of that.
Did moving to Brooklyn change the music you create?
Yes, it did. It made it way better because in Mexico, I had a lot of ideas. I've always been influenced by different types of music, a lot of American music, but I didn't really have the elements to make it sound like I wanted to sound because I didn't play banjo and I didn't play trumpet and I didn't have any friends that played any of those instruments. So even though I had the ideas in my head, I could do a little bad imitations with some of my friends back there. But suddenly I was in Brooklyn and I found myself surrounded by people that actually could play those instruments. And not only that, but they could play them incredibly well, way better than I could ever imagine. So I think Brooklyn gave me kind of like the ability to crystallize all those ideas that I had back in Mexico.
How do you meet other musicians who play the instruments you're hoping to find and become friends and collaborators with them? How do you get people to join your band and play your music?
Basically, just going to gigs, going to other people's gigs and
sure.
Looking at people and how they play. The most recent trumpet player that I'm playing with, it's a fantastic trumpet player. His name is Sam Hoyt, and I met him. I saw him in a bar that I frequently go, and I was blown away by how he played. And then I went, I was taking some swing dancing lessons. I like dancing sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to this dorky dance lesson party after a lesson. And there was a band playing, and he was there again, and I was just blown away by how he played. And so I approached him and I said, hey, I've seen you before. I want to play with you. And he was like, oh, okay. So it's something nice, too, about the city, that there's a lot of talent, but at the same time, people are very accessible, and there are not a lot of divas. So you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do it. There's not a lot of money either in the city, you know, to pay musicians. So if people like your music, and if you treat musicians with respect, which I always try to do, and, you know, even if you don't have a lot of money, well, try to treat them well, you know. You can get good bands together.
You said that you studied music business. Did you finish your degree? Does that have anything to do with your day-to-day now?
It does, unfortunately. I work, I have a 9-to-5, well, a 10-to-6 job at Sony Music.
I'm sorry to hear
copyright.
That.
Yeah. I work for the copyright department, and I have a good time here. It's not like being playing music all the time. That would be incredibly awesome, and I hope to achieve that at some point. But for now, you know, it helps me pay the rent, it helps me be here in New York. And it's interesting too, like, realize that, like, the other side of the business, how money moves, specifically when it comes to songwriting.
Siento que me pongo un poco loco cuando hay luna llena.
You have a beautiful, clear tone to your singing voice that I really, really love. Have you taken singing lessons, or were you just born with that?
Well, first of all, I'm going to take a few minutes to take that in and say yes, thank you, and brag a little bit about it. No, that's definitely not my natural voice. I've been studying singing for so long. For me, they always ask me, oh, what kind of instrument do you think is the hardest one? And I think singing is by far the most hard thing. Like, I can play a little bit of guitar, a little bit of accordion. None of them great, but I can, you know, people will say, oh, okay, he's playing something.
Mm-hmm.
Vocals, it's so hard. And I've been studying since I was in Mexico, I've been like studying for like 10, no more, probably like 20 years with different teachers. And it's just so hard because you don't see anything. You know, you're playing the piano, you're looking at your fingers. When you're singing, you have no idea. Your instrument is inside of you and you don't know what is going on. So you have to think a lot. And this teacher that I'm with, which is by far the best one, and I love him, does a very good job in making you aware of what happens inside of you, what muscles move, how they move, and he helps you recognize the physical sensations that go with the correct technique. So it's fascinating because little by little you start getting familiar with sensations. And after years and years and years, I only think that I'm starting to get a hold of it.
When you began taking lessons then, what was the thought you had that made you think, I want to be able to sing, I want to be able to sing very well, I will go study it?
Well, you know what? It's funny because the reason why I started studying was out of necessity than vanity. It was not like I wanted a nice voice.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that I didn't want my voice to run out.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to, you know, to sing after the show and don't have a voice, which it still happens sometimes. But I just wanted to have enough technique to know that, you know, that I had a healthy throat and that I wouldn't run out of of vocals. I know a couple of people in Mexico. There's like a famous band, rock band, and the guy has a hard time singing because for a long time he sang without a technique and he's destroyed his throat. And even though I love Tom Waits and I would love to have a voice like that eventually, I do want to be able to sing and not just, destroy my vocal cords. And then after that, little by little, I was like, oh, well, I guess I don't focus a lot of the type of voice that I have because I just have it. You know, I can focus on the techniques and of how to do things, but I mean, that's one of the things that you have, and that's what was given to you somehow. And even though you can play a little bit around with it, there's not much more that you can do to change your basic tone, etc.
Mm-hmm. Right. You released an album last year, Por Ahí, with 11 songs, original songs. Is any one of them the hardest one to sing?
Yes. And I probably will not be singing it on the festival. almost one of the last songs in the album. And it has a high note that if I'm been vocalizing for a while and I do it, I can give it, I can sing it well. But every time that I'm in a gig with the adrenaline and with the playing and with the sweat and everything, it never goes well.
You never get the note.
Yeah, you never get the note. So I avoid that song.
Tendrán que balancearme por delante y por detrás, sin medir el matar.
the song, though.
Yeah.
Why not change the note?
Because it sounds so good there.
Uh-huh. Good. That's what I thought.
And also when I'm writing, I'm also more ambitious. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. It's going to be great. And then when it's time to actually start performing it, I'm like, oh, maybe I should have lowered the whole song a little bit more.
How do you write your songs? Where do the ideas launch from?
Well, they come from different places. Some of them come from politics. Some of them come from literature that I'm reading. Some of them come from movies or TV shows. But I do consider myself like a person that's very fascinating and driven by stories. I love storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the songs have a foundation on some kind of plot, some kind of character, something going on like that. Like I do have songs that are just about feelings and I love you, but most of the times I like to be able to capture the feeling but put it inside a context that can be like a little movie or a little story somehow. So yeah, in terms of lyrics, they come from all over the place. In terms of music, the inspiration comes about. I usually like loud acoustic instruments, and that's, since I can remember, those are the instruments that are always grabbing my attention and that end up appearing in my songs one way or the other.
You play guitar, you play accordion. Do you play anything else?
I play a little bit of banjo,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. And singing, a little bit of piano, but I just play enough to sing my songs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always so jealous of the musicians that play with me because they are real, real instrumentalists. You know, they can grab a violin, grab a trumpet, and play different genres, and just like they dominate, they know their instrument so well, and I'm so jealous because I cannot do that. I learned a little bit, enough to be able to write and to perform my own music, but I don't have, unfortunately, the technique that I would like for all the things that I would like to do.
You are going to have, I predict, a fantastic time at Mass Mocha, and thank you so much for speaking with me about your music.
Thank you so much. I'm looking so forward to it. I've heard great things about the space, about the festival, and I'm also very very honored to be, you know, in a festival that's mostly like country music and bluegrass, because even though I count that as one of my influences, I don't consider myself a bluegrass musician at all. So I know my place, and and I don't pretend anybody to think that I'm doing anything that has to do with those genres that I like so much.
It's going to be wonderful. Thank you again.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Rana Santa Cruz will perform at the Fresh Grass Festival at Mass Mocha on Saturday. For more information, visit freshgrass.com or massmocha.org. Those links will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. All of the songs included in this segment can be found on Rana's most recent album, Por Ahí. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Voy a amargarte en las mañanas, llenar tu vida de terror, causarte una eterna migraña, pellizcarte las entrañas y arañarte el corazón. Y voy a ti borrar tu mente de pudredumbre y aguarrás, y torturarte lentamente todo porque simplemente yo te quiero ver y llorar. No condenes mis deseos con lo mucho que te quiero. Sabes bien que a mí me pesa y me atormenta tu dolor. Y esas lágrimas saliendo de tus lindos ojos negros.